Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, offering certified training solutions in payroll, bookkeeping and accounting technician, fully funded or heavily subsidised.
Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. Welcome to the Business Matters podcast. My guest this week is Dennis Sheridan, Director of DS Environmental Services based in Kilmacrenan. After leaving school in 1974, age 14, Dennis worked as a shop boy, a petrol pump attendant, a tanker helper with Donegal Creameries, before emigrating to Australia in 1983, where he secured employment as a labourer and a shuttering carpenter. He later worked in London, Holland and Belgium, before settling back in Donegal, where he set up his own business. Dennis began by telling me why he left the education system at such a young age.
I left school when I was about 14. I was the tech and at the kind of ended on a year and 3 months, I think, something like that. So I hated school. I hated every single day I was at school, at primary school and secondary school. I just couldn't concentrate and couldn't, just didn't want to be there. So for me, it was better to get out. And at that time, the rules weren't as strict. I'm sure you couldn't leave school at 14 years of age today. And my parents had no choice anyway, because I wasn't going back. And I got a job in Letterkenny down in Lower Main Street in Letterkenny Cash Stores, run by the McComiskey family, nice people. And I was a shop boy there for maybe 6 months. I remember the wages at that time, so we're talking about probably 1974, roughly. And the wages was £5 a week. And funny, some of these things stick out in my mind. I left that job and I got a job over in Ridge Garage on the petrol pumps there, and the wages went from £5 a week to £9 a week. So I stayed there maybe another 6 months. It's a wee bit vague, like the time frames that I was in these places, you know. But I remember then I heard about a job with Donegal Creameries, a helper out in the milk tankers lifting samples around and farms, milk samples, and I jumped from £9 a week to £18 a week. So I worked there in Donegal Creameries till about 1983, roughly. And I got made redundant. They started to reorganise the business there. And there was a good few staff members working there made redundant at that time. So I was one of them. And the next place that I set my sights on was Australia, because I had an uncle and living in Melbourne. Him and his wife emigrated there in 1960. So I had met them once before when they were here on holidays in 1974. So at that time, my mother wrote them a letter and asked them would it be okay if I came over. And she done all that sort of work for us. And I landed in Australia. And the first place I started working with my uncle on a building site in the outskirts of Melbourne. And Australia, I stayed there for about 4 years.
What were you expecting when you headed to Australia?
What was I expecting? I don't really know. I just knew I had this urge that I wanted a change, that I wanted a, you know, and that was my first time ever being on a plane. I never was in an aeroplane until that, you know. I flew from Belfast to Heathrow, and Heathrow then, Heathrow to Abu Dhabi, I think it was. I'd never been on a plane before, but I didn't care. I had itchy feet, and you know, I just wanted to see Australia. I just thought it'd be a great country to see, and so it was. So it was. I've been to an awful lot of countries since, you know, and I would say Australia was one of the best countries ever. And then, you know, when I landed there in 1984, you know, Melbourne city centre at night time, you could have walked around with no problem. I don't think it's just like that today, you know. Very, very strong Irish community in Melbourne when I went there. And
you were at home very quick there, obviously.
I stood away, settled in, you know. I stayed, my uncle had a caravan behind us in the backyard of his house, and that's where I stayed. So I didn't want to be bothering them too much. So once I got my feet under me and got to know other young Irish fellows the same as myself, we heard about jobs here and jobs there. So I stayed with my uncle maybe 3 or 4 months, maybe 6 months, I can't really remember. And I left there and I went to Canberra, and that's the capital of Australia, even though it's one of the smaller cities. And I got a job there. They were on the construction of the new Parliament House in Canberra. So I would say I was on that job for maybe 18 months. And
Wages-wise, Dennis, what were we talking about back then?
Wages-wise, I think probably taking home on that job something around $600 a week, which was a fairly big jump up from where
Fiver and Comiskey's.
Fiver and Comiskey's is right. But, you know, that was a great experience working there, and that there was about 3,000 people working on that job, and it was a massive, massive job. So it was a fantastic experience, you know, and I learned a lot and met a lot of people. And
what were you doing? What was your role?
In the new Parliament House in Canberra, I was a labourer on the job there. So after that job, I'd met other Irish fellas in that job, and the next job I went to, I was a shuttering carpenter because I had learned a bit about the shuttering work on that job when I was labouring, and so the next job I went to was in Canberra as well, and I ended up as a shuttering carpenter, and that's what I'd done for most of the remainder of my time in Australia. It would have involved bridge building and all motorways, you know, building motorway works and all that type of stuff there. So it was a great experience for me, a great learning curve, you know, even though at the time I didn't think maybe I was learning much, but afterwards when I settled down, like I was only 23 years of age, 22, 23 years of age at that time, and I was sort of in party mode as well, and I'm glad that, you know, at that time in my life that I got to experience them things. So after 4 years in Australia, I came back here to Ireland, and I still found it very hard to settle, so then I went to London, nearly stayed away and worked there for a couple of years.
What was the difficulty in settling, Dennis? Was it the pace of life, or was it the way things were?
I think the pace was slow, and the work wasn't that great here at that time either, you know, that was 1988.
Not the best time to be coming back, I suppose.
It wasn't the best time to be coming back, and I was probably at a stage in my life where I was just happy to go anywhere where there was good work and good money, and that was what I was doing. So I ended up in London, and then from London I worked in Holland and Belgium for a while, and then I came back here about 1990, and I was working in Dublin for a while, and while I was in Dublin I would be home every weekend, and of course that's one of them weekends I was home, I met my present day wife, and that changed my direction. So anyway,
were you still in construction at that stage, Dennis, was it?
Still in construction, yeah, still in construction at that stage. So ended up, we got married in 1993, and I found here that the work wasn't as plentiful. I'd have been in construction for a while, and then I might be driving trucks for a while, and I was coming and going, and you were always sort of nearly working yourself out of a job when you were in construction, because if you were in construction, you started maybe on a building, and you knew that building was going to end, and so when it ended, your job ended, unless there was another one to go to. So anyway, I was this notion that I'd be happier if I worked for myself, and
was that something that was always at the back of your mind, that eventually you would be your own boss?
I'd say it probably was, you know. And maybe a part of that why I wanted to work for myself was because I'd have nobody to answer to, because I always had the feeling that when I was working for somebody else that I never was doing enough or never was good enough, you know. So and that brought a kind of a pressure on itself as well, you know. I don't know if people can understand that, but I always felt under pressure when I was working for somebody else. Am I doing enough? Am I good enough? When am I going to get fired? Or, you know, when am I going to get paid off? So that brought me to thinking about working on my own, and I had this idea in my head for a good while that to start carpet cleaning and power washing. And
was that because you realised that there was nobody else doing that job at that time?
At that time around here, there didn't seem to be anybody else at it much, okay. You know. And neither there was, that, and that's the way that it was at that time. So that's what I went away and I bought a carpet cleaning machine and I started cleaning the carpets. And there wasn't just enough work on the carpets on their own, so I started power washing as well. I went away and bought a power washer. And I still wasn't doing enough work to keep myself going, so I started to clean chimneys then. And then as I was cleaning chimneys, a lot of people would ask me, can you service my boiler? So I didn't know anything about boilers, so I went away to Dublin. I'd done a night course with Foss in Dublin on servicing and repairing oil burners. I used to leave here at 1 o'clock on a Wednesday. I'd go out and do my work on a Wednesday morning, get finished up, come home, get something to eat, take a packed lunch with me and get into my van and drive to Dublin and do this night course. And Dublin was from 6 to 9, one night a week, for, could have been 10 weeks. Never missed a night, you know, because I was interested and I was eager to learn. So got that course finished. So then I was servicing and repairing oil burners. I was cleaning carpets. I was power washing. So it was going pretty good. So I seen this, what I thought was a power washer for sale, and a magazine. So I went away and looked at it, and I bought it and came back home with it. And when I started to play around with it, I said, you know, this is more than a power washer. And it turned out to be a drain cleaning machine. By total accident, a drain cleaning machine. So I started to play about with it and found out how it worked. And then I started to advertise for cleaning drains. So that's where the drain cleaning started, totally by accident, you know. And anyway, I started cleaning the drains, and I realised then that I would probably need a camera as well, but I said I wouldn't buy a camera and didn't have the money to buy one anyway. So I went to the council office in Letterkenny, and I met the town foreman in there, who was John Buchanan at the time, and I told him that I was doing drain cleaning and if he had any work. So he asked me, do you have a camera for going down the drains? And just automatically I said I had. And as soon as I had that said, I sort of said, maybe I shouldn't have said this, because he said, be in here Monday morning with your camera, I've got a job for you. So immediately I felt this pressure that I used to feel when I was working for other people. And anyway, the next job I had that day after talking to him was cleaning the carpet. And I suppose this is where I see where luck, Lady Luck, comes into play. I went to this house and went in, a man let me in, and he said, that's the room down there. So I cleaned the carpet, and when I was finished and putting everything away in the van, he asked me, did I want a cup of tea? So we're sitting down at this kitchen table, and he asked me how I was getting on. So for some reason, I don't know why, I told him what happened that day, that I had told this councilman that I had a camera, and he wants me to do work for him on Monday morning, and I don't have a camera, I don't have the money for the camera, and I don't know what to do now. Should I go back and tell him the truth, or what should I do? And lo and behold, this man, he told me that he was the commercial lending manager for AIB Bank, and to come in the next morning and we'll have a talk. So, and to him the next morning, and about an hour later I walked out with a cheque for my camera, and that was on the Monday morning. I was there with the council, and that was the very first of many, many jobs with Donegal County Council.
When was that, Dennis?
That was, I would say, about 1998, roughly. So at that stage, the Celtic Tiger was starting to roar here, and a lot of house building started. And it just so happened that every developer that built an estate of houses here, they had to have all their drains surveyed by a camera like what I had. It was a condition of their planning, one of the conditions in their planning permission. So that brought a lot of work on for me. And at this stage, I was still on my own, you know. And one day I was out doing a job at this house, and I was unblocking a drain, and this man came out and he started to help me. And so when the job was finished, I asked him, was he working anywhere? And he said, no. And that man turned out to be my first employee. And he worked with me for many years, you know. And as time went on, my role even changed, you know. I was actually still doing the carpets and the chimneys and all that. And one by one, I sort of had to drop them jobs because I found myself in a more managerial role in the business.
How did you find adapting to being a boss now as opposed to being an employee at that stage?
I found it very difficult. Not so much difficult. The difficulty wasn't with being the boss as much as worrying about would the people that's working for you do the job as good as you would do it yourself. And I quickly found out, you know, realised that, you know, that the people that I had working for me at this stage, some of them could do the job far better than me. They'd do it different, they had new ideas, you know. And I quickly learned to trust people and to learn from people. And I quickly realised, you know, that I should work, that I should stick to my strengths, and where I was weak, get other people on board that could take up the slack for me in the places where I was weak, you know. And I believe that's the you know, the secret in any company is getting good people on board, you know. And I've been very, very lucky. I have some people working for me today that are there from nearly the word go, you know, that they're here a long, long time, and really, really good, trustworthy people. So, you know, and I believe that's the secret in any business, as the staff that you have on board. And I'm in that position, you know. So you know, in the business that I'm in, the DS Environmental, like the first part of that, like, that was when I got my first camera. I still was a sole trader. It was T-shirt and cleaning services. So our turnover started to grow. So my accountants advised me then that I should form a limited company. So that's in 2006. That's where DS Environmental was born out of.
And there, we'll take a break.
Are you confused about using social media for your business? Donegal ETB's Further Education and Training Service can provide you with introductory training. Email enterprise engagement at donegaletb.ie or call 9120500 for further information.
And you're welcome back to Business Matters. Before the break, Dennis Sheridan talked about life prior to setting up his limited company.
So DS Environmental, the business was going good, was going very, very good. And I had learned an awful lot about the business at that stage, learned an awful lot about it, and I could see what was going on in other countries. And I started going to trade shows. I suppose before, you know, maybe I should say that you asked me about becoming the manager in the company. I would say the help I got with Donegal County Enterprise Board was crucial to the development, to my own development and to the development of the business, you know. At that time, there was great people in the Enterprise Board. There still is today, because I'm still involved with the Enterprise Board, but we had Michael Tunney and Ursula Donnelly, Rachel Wasson, Danny McElhinney, really, really good people. And the thing about it is, you didn't have to go in there to impress anybody, because anybody goes in through them doors are looking for help and setting up their business and helping their business to grow. And we got an awful lot of help in there, an awful lot of help in there. With them people, because they really understand what new business startups need. So from there, you know, I could see that there was much more to this and there was better ways of doing things. And I started going to trade shows and I started reading industry magazines and all that type of stuff, you know. And I could see that there was so much you could do out there, how we could do things so much better, you know. And at that time, I hardly had any competition at all. And as time went by, you know, I could see that there's a bit of competition going into the market. And I don't think there's any business that doesn't have competition. And for me, I see competition as a good thing because it wakes me up and it keeps me sharp. And I could see competition coming behind me. So I would say to myself, look, there's competition coming behind me and they're starting to do the same things I'm doing. So I have to ramp it up. And I constantly go to trade shows. I'm constantly searching, looking for new ideas, better ways of doing things. And I believe that's what competition has driven me on to do them things. And there's no end to what the environmental business, the scene that we're in, there's no end to what can be done. There are a lot of challenges out there. Some of the biggest challenges are, I suppose, for some of the stuff that I would like to do is getting planning permission, getting licenses, all that type of stuff. It's very, very difficult, but very rewarding if you can get these kind of things over the line, you know.
In relation to the services you provide, Dennis, could you outline some of those at the moment?
The services we provide, simply, I suppose, from the everyday services we provide would be drain cleaning, CCTV, pipe surveying, and septic tank cleaning. That's sort of our bread and butter money. Some of the other services that we provide are more complicated, like mobile sludge dewatering. We have some big heavy industrial units, like we just purchased a truck last year from Germany, and they call it a recycler, but what it does is we would clean drains with it, and the water that we use to clean the drain, it sucks it up, recycles it and keeps reusing it. So that is a big saving on water. Like a lot of companies that are cleaning drains, they have to take water from the council mains, and of course, as you know, water, potable water, costs a lot to produce. So this is a great cost saving thing. This water recycling truck that we have, the mobile sludge dewatering machine that we have, means that we can go out and empty septic tanks, and we can empty a septic tank. We just take the sludge away and leave the effluent behind, and it's the sludge that causes the problems in these tanks. So, but this machine that we have is really a big industrial machine, and about 2 years ago, we put this machine to work in Northern Ireland for NI Water. They were doing a massive upgrade to a wastewater treatment plant in Northern Ireland, and we were called in to help with that. And they done a study on the service that we provided there, and when we were finished, after it was about an 18-month job for us, when we were finished, they told us that there was a cost saving by using us of nearly £1 million because of the way that we done the work, because of the way that our machine separated the sludge and the wastewater. It meant that only the sludge had to go off-site. They saved something like 450 articulated tanker loads of sludge going off-site by using our mobile sludge dewatering machine. So, and the news quickly spread about that machine. Irish Water are actually looking at us now as well and asking questions about this machine. So it's things like that that I think that has been our success. And I suppose it's partly because when I have things running well, I get bored and I look for something new, something new to add on, you know. So that's a lot of where we're.
Your workforce is growing steadily, and I note your fleet is growing steadily as well. How many people are you employing, Dennis, now?
We're employing 20 people at the moment. But as I can see that before this year is out, I think that number could grow by 5 or 6 people, you know, because we have a lot of inquiries. We had a lot of inquiries last year, and because of the virus, some of those inquiries, they didn't go completely dead. They were just shelved. We were to go out and have meetings and meet people and stuff like that. So a lot of them things were shelved, but some of these people have come back on again. So I can see that this year is going to be a very, very busy year. And I can see that DS Environmental Services, I believe, will be around long after I'm gone, you know. That's what I believe.
I was going to ask you, how has COVID-19 impacted on you over the last 10 months?
COVID-19, the impact that it had on us, even though we're classed as an essential service, it made our work much, much harder to do. The fact that we would have trucks going out where there'd be two men in each truck, it meant that we had to buy extra vans and have a van driving around after the trucks. Stuff like that there, getting into premises to do work, trying to social distance, which is very, very awkward when two people, men are working together. But we rose to the challenge, and the people working here rose to the challenge, you know, and we kept going. Even though our turnover would have been slightly down, we were able to keep going, thankfully. And, you know, I can see that COVID-19, it has thrown up some opportunities as well. You know, and they say that out of every crisis there's opportunity, you know, and I could see that as well, that it has thrown up some opportunities for us also. So, you know, and I believe we're in the eye of the storm right now at the minute, but there is, you know, I think by the middle of the year we'll see some light at the end of the tunnel, and we'll get back to some sort of a normality, I believe.
I note as well, you've picked up some awards over the years, 2009 and 2015, Best Business of the Year and Best Innovation Award.
Yeah.
I'm sure, nice to get.
Aye, that's right. 2009, that was the Donegal County Enterprise Board Award. And 2009, there wasn't many businesses getting awards. You know, businesses were just trying their best to keep going. And our business, at that time, our business was still growing. Because I was out there, and I was looking for different ways of doing things and new ideas. And 2009 seen our business growing, while a lot of other businesses were failing and going bankrupt, you know. And the nominations came out from the Enterprise Board, and we were nominated to go on there and put our business up there. And we won it that year, and that was a massive boost for us, you know. We got so much coverage in the national newspapers and everywhere, you know, and it was a great boost for me personally, and for my family, and for all the people working here. You know, it was a great lift altogether in such dark times, just in the second year of the recession, you know, 2008-09. And we went on then to become finalists in the national for the Enterprise Board. We didn't win the final, but we were finalists, you know, and it was a great boost, you know, to get all that national coverage. And out of that, I believe out of that, that we started to get more national work. We started to get more work out of the county, you know. And I think when people see, I think it's, you know, quite fairly easy to follow our story. We've been growing year on year, growing, growing, growing. Slow growth, slow and steady, you know. And
is that the key to ultimate success, slow and steady?
For our company anyway, that was the key. That was the key for us anyway. You know, people would say to me, you know, how do you manage all the headaches and, you know, how all this that you've got on? I don't even see it, because I grew from working from myself to one employee, to two, to three. And I just grew along with it. And, you know, if somebody was handed that didn't, you know, that whole thing now, it'd be very, very daunting. Unless they're a good managerial team behind them, you know. So everything was built up slowly, and like, I've made mistakes along the way too. Made many, many mistakes, and I do believe that if you're not making mistakes, you're not taking any risks. So if you're a risk taker, you're going to make mistakes, and if you make a mistake, learn from it, move on quickly, and to the next thing. And
finally, Dennis, what lies ahead in 2021 for DS Environmental Services?
What lies ahead for us? You know, we've had an inquiry before Christmas from a national utility in the UK, and I can see us having we have to arrange a meeting with them over there. They're very, very anxious to get us over, because they've heard from Northern Ireland Water about our mobile sludge dewatering plant and the way that the job was done and everything. So we've had an inquiry from there. It's a utility in London, So whenever it's safe to do so, I'll be flying over there and having a meeting with them and seeing what's what. And I just see in the future that I can see us spreading our wings and we'll be working in the UK. Our DS Environmental, we're so specialised now that some of the machinery we have, like that mobile sludge dewatering machine, it cost $500,000 to buy, and they're really, at the moment, there is enough work here for us, for it, but I think that Irish Water, and I don't know if they have the money or to spend on that type of machinery, you know, so that type of machine needs to go to the UK and be working there, you know. So I can see that we'll probably be a UK based before this year's out as well.
Great. Dennis Sheridan, Director of DS Environmental Services, thanks so much for joining us on Business Matters.
Thank you, Kieran.
That's it for another edition of Business Matters. I'd like to thank my guest, Dennis Sheridan. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound, and thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service. Offering certified training solutions in payroll, bookkeeping and accounting technician. Fully funded or heavily subsidised.